All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom. Participant, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Good morning. It is Monday, March 15th, the trickiest month of the year. It's been nice. Everything's been beautiful. The weather's been nice. This morning, not so nice. Cold and windy. Supposed to run this morning. I bailed. I text my buddy Brian. I'm like, I'm not going to make it this morning. It's too cold. This is a tough time of the year, especially when you've run all winter, which we have. And like my buddy James said the other day, he said, I'm just tired of bundling up to run. I get it. I am too. I don't mind. I've said this before. I don't really mind the cold. I don't like the wind. And man, was it windy. People say, oh, Delaware's always windy. Well, there's some truth to that. But when it stops being windy, then it's just dead calm and it's hot and humid. But no, this time of the year does feel like it. There's a lot of wind. And it started blowing yesterday, man. It's all sucking. I've said that before. I was talking to my father-in-law last night, and I'm like, it's all sucking. No blowing. It's all high to low. Pressure's moving. Sucking it over to one place. There's no wind source. He's like, what? I guess you're right. I don't know. Yeah, so what can we get into? What can we get into today? What's the problem? You know, I talked about the other day that second set of doors. You know, that second level of sobriety. You know, the maintenance. I don't know what you would even really call it. The spiritual side of it, right? It's the, for me, it was the part about really using stuff that I can't see, that I can't touch, I can't feel, but relying on these things to help me, having faith. You know, I think it probably starts off as, you know, as our parents, right? We reach out, whether we're, I mean, as a little kid, my kid, daddy, mom, daddy, I got an issue. It's always, you know, relying on their higher power, which is their parents. Can you reach this? Can you cook this? Can you make this for me? Can you take me here? Can you take me there? And then as you get older, or as I've gotten older, I can remember being a young adult in my 20s calling my dad up and asking him for the number to Pizza Hut. Do you know the number to Pizza Hut? I can look it up. Okay, I'll wait. You know, just completely in a different space. Getting older. You know, there was a point in my life where I realized that I had to stop reaching out and asking my parents for help with everything. Like good higher powers that they were, they would just jump into action. You know? I had to say, listen, you know, if you call and tell your father this or your mother, it's going to change their whole world for the next few days or months. Do I want them in on this yet? You know, we've been working on trying to get another house. And, you know, I have to be careful about how much I talk about these kind of things with my father, because my father just likes to get right into it. And, you know, there's a point in usually when something's going on in my life, there's a point where I'm running on emotions. You know, the emotional side of it. Oh my God, exciting. Ooh. Not really thinking about reality. Where it seems like my father, he's always about reality. And he loves to let reality out. What about this? What about that? You're like, Jesus Christ, can't I just enjoy this? So, you know, at some point you get older and you're like, I'm not even going to tell my dad. I'm not telling my mom. till it's very, you know, until the time is right. Because at some point, I don't really want to hear the reality. You know? Reality is to piss me off. But I think as I've gotten older and I've worked some sort of program and just done a little bit of time free from alcohol and tried to work myself through that second set of doors, you know, I can start seeing, you know, the reality. And as much as it is important to see reality, it's almost just important as to be, to surrender to it. You know, when we first were, you know, and today I'm doing a podcast with my buddy Herb. He's a builder, you know. A lot of great program stuff, a lot of great things I've learned in the program have helped me with this situation. You know, we were wanting to, you know, we live in a Class C mobile home, a double-wide mobile home, manufactured home, and bought it a long time ago, and it was exactly what I could afford. It was exactly what I needed. In fact, my father helped me buy it. In fact, if it wasn't for my father, I wouldn't have it at all. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, my wife and I were like, let's fix up our house. Let's fix up the kitchen. You know, we've never done anything to it. I mean, it's okay, but shit is falling apart. And we're like, we love our area. We never want to leave this spot. We love this spot, so why not commit? And everybody's like, you can't do that. Well, we're on emotion. Our emotions are a fresh, cleaned up, brand new looking kitchen, update our bathrooms. We're like, yes. But then reality is, you can't do that. My dad used to say, you can't overbuild for that area. You can't put too much in. You won't recoup your money. I was like, oh, well, I don't know what that means. I didn't know what that meant. I mean, I got it. I understand, but I didn't really understand how the workings of real estate and area and, you know, we reached out to a real estate agent and she's like, you can't dump a bunch of money into that home. Wah. We didn't want to hear that. They're just all jealous. You know, you take this weird, you know, negative stance against anything that's been told to you that doesn't quite fall into the story that you're kind of making, and you get pissed, and you're like, ah, it's bullshit. Can't throw a bunch of money because you put $100,000 into this house, and it's still going to be a Class C mobile home. It has a ceiling. Nah, we're never leaving. What's it matter? We're never leaving. We're never leaving. And the real estate agent's like, listen, I hear this happen all the time. People love this area. Throw $100,000 into a Class C mobile home, and then 2 years later, they're like, we're moving to Florida. Yeah, that's fine, I guess, but you're not getting that $100,000 back. So we had to kind of, and we weren't putting $100,000 into it, but we wanted to fix it up. You know, we wanted what we wanted. And I remember finally telling my dad, and he's like, you can't. I'm like, my father's always against me, blah, blah, blah. No, he was right. It's just, am I willing to accept what he's saying? You know, if it was anybody else like Jen, the real estate agent who told us, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, Jen. But if my dad told me, I'm like, you're always going against what I want to do. You know, it's always some other thing. You know, I can remember as a kid or as a young adult and hearing things that I didn't want to hear and basically having a tantrum. You know, maybe not to the point of on my hands or, you know, laying on the floor, smashing my hands and feet against the ground, but, you know, inside furious, not getting my way. And that's, you know, you get through that, you get into this program or you get into a program and whatever the program is. You know, and you do it long enough and you start to learn about other things. There's a lot of weird situations going on in my life right now. Friends going through things. Us going through things. Friends going through things because we're going through things. We're going through things because friends are going through things. You know, it's all this, you know, basically a whole lot of not minding your own business. You know, poking your nose or getting your nose involved in other people's situations. Having an opinion. It's tough. I mean, how do you handle when somebody is going through something and, you know, you don't want to be have an opinion. You don't want to tell them what to do. I mean, it's just, there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff. And you know, it's like, it's just tough, man. And that trying to figure out where you, you know, restrain from pen and tongue. This fucking microphone stand is fucking annoying me. I don't know. It's, I am, it is Monday. That's good. Got a big day. I'm doing, like I was going to say, all right, let me finish this story, sort of. So, you know, then we're like, all right, we're not going to be able to fix up the bathroom, so maybe we'll have to build a new house. And then we hire a builder, and my God, the process takes forever. I feel like we wasted a ton of time, you know, looking for a builder, looking for, you know, having plans drawn up. And, you know, we end up finding a builder and we became friends with the builder. And then it turns out we can't even build the house. We ended up having to buy a house in a development that's, you know, already sort of being built. Because we are in a time right now that it's, everything's really crazy as far as our area and building. You can't, I mean, we live in a hot spot right now. Everybody's moving down here. Can't find land, can't find a builder. The prices of everything have gone skyrocketing. And, you know, I built this relationship with this builder. His name's Herb. He's going to come on my other podcast later on today. He's just a super great guy. Everything you'd want in a builder. The only thing that we can't find is a place to build the house and a place to live while it's being built. So we had to, you know, we put some money down on a lot. And so that means that we don't get to use Herb. And I really liked him. You know, when you're going through, whether it's building or education or small business or whatever it is, you know, people come into your life that help you. And, you know, out of all the real estate agents that we talked to and builders and bankers and all the stuff, the one person that stands out in my mind is a real true person that was just really willing to help at no cost was my buddy Herb. And so I'm listening to him. And, you know, there was a time where, you know, if you're into a... So the situation was we were having a lot of conversations with Herb. You know, he was taking time out of his day, meeting us at places, showing us houses that he had built. You know, doing all the things that you need to do when you're trying to get business, right? You know, you take the time. But, you know, we also spoke with a lot of other people who didn't take as much time. And so, you know, maybe in the past, you know, a situation like this, we basically had to make a decision that pretty much eliminated us using Herb. And then you have to have like a conversation. And, you know, the guy in the past would have just maybe ghosted Herb. Like, shit, I don't know what to tell him. I'm not going to call him. Forget it. And just ignored Herb. And ignored the fact of all the time that that's what you do. You have conversations. That's part of the business that he's in. You know, everything that he did for us was really on his time. It doesn't cost anything. You don't pay people to show you property that they've built and stuff. It just goes along with small business. It goes along with the business. So we didn't owe him anything. Sometimes you get into small business relationships with people and they do so much, they're so helpful that you almost feel obligated to do business with them because they've been so great. And that feels bad. But I had to call him and I had to say, listen, Herb, we bought a lot. You know, we're not going to use you. All the time that you've given us, all the, you know, the extra work that he did, because he did a lot. He worked with the realtor trying to help us find a lot. I mean, the guy went above and beyond. So that made the conversation even tougher. And I had to call him. I said, Herb, we're going to buy a lot. You know what he says? He goes, I understand. You got to do what's best for your family. And he's right. You can't do what's best for Herb, right? You got to do what's best for the family. And it wasn't, I mean, if best for the family means, you know, we may end up with a house in a year, then yes, because at this point, I don't know when we were going to end up with a house. But I had to, you know, have that conversation. I had to be uncomfortable and I had to be honest and I had to be a person of character. A person of character, not a character. And the person from the past would have been like, you know, sorry about your luck, Herb, and not called. Because at this point, we had no contractual obligation with Herb. It would have been easy to just ghost Herb and just move on with our what makes us happy. But that's not the guy that I am today. And it's weird though, and it's interesting to say this, but I learned that kind of behavior through sobriety, through that second set of doors. Have the conversation, be honest. People appreciate that. People do appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. You know, in the hair business, people come and go. People come and go. That's one of the things that kind of annoys me about the business that I'm in is that you become so emotionally connected to a lot of people and then, you know, whatever it is, they just disappear. They don't say goodbye. And I guess they don't have to, but it just gets under my skin a bit. But yeah, it's called having character. And I said, listen, Herb, we bought a lot, so we're not going to build. And he was totally understood. And I said, I'd love to have you on my podcast, though, because I want to tell you, out of the experience through all of this, the one experience that stands out is my relationship with Herb. He's just a great freaking guy. Very helpful. And I want to have him on and talk about the fact that, you know, if someone's looking to build a house, call Herb, man. He is the guy. He will help. And this is based, you know, if you've ever built anything or built a house, you know, you always say get three estimates. We got three builders. The other two were fucking, they just tacked on an extra $100,000 just because they're like, listen, we're busy. You're that interested in a building, you can pay an extra $100,000. And my biggest fear with the whole building of the house and the builder and stuff was that, and I have a client right now who's building a house, and he said we're already $15,000 over budget, and they were just framing because the price of wood and everything's gone crazy, and he had had a, you know, the guy had given him a bid. He's like, I can't stay to this bid. We're, you know, prices have just gone too crazy. So I was afraid that. I said, Herb, I said, you know, another thing that I was worried about is I thought we'd get into this construction and then be like, you know, we have to have a conversation. The prices have gone up. It's going to be more. And, you know, once you're into something, you can't say, oh, well, tear it all down and give me my money back. And you're kind of pressed between a rock and a hard place. And I was worried about that. And he said, let me tell you something, Tom. Those numbers that I gave you are all set in stone. They're all set in stone. Those are hard numbers. And I go, okay. But we had to do what we had to do. So we didn't get to build a house with her. But he's coming on the RoboSocial podcast today with me, and he's just a great guy. And then since then, his wife called me, and she's like, listen, I've had a hairdresser for so long. I'm looking for a new hairdresser. I guess their person's maybe retiring. A lot of people have retired and through this pandemic. And so she's like, we need a new hairdresser. And are you taking new clients? And I'm like, of course. And I'm doing, giving their daughter highlights as well. So, you know, it's easy to say that, standing up, being honest, being a person of character, facing the truth, telling somebody something that you really don't want to tell them, which is, we're not using you. You're not going to be able to make, you're not going to be able to generate any revenue through this project, and I'm sorry. And but the stance of doing that and being honest and being upfront and being, listen, if you're upset, I do apologize. This is why we're doing what we're doing, and we really loved you. And in the end, I have built a friendship with Herb, and now I've actually got a couple new clients out of it, taking the high road. And I didn't used to do that. I was never a guy that took the high road. I jumped off the road and ran. It's all that stuff. It's all that, what did I want to do? I didn't want to call Herb. What did I want to do? I wanted to avoid Herb. But what did I need to do? I needed to call Herb and be honest with Herb and let Herb know that this is the direction we were taking. And he was fantastic. Not everybody, just because you take the high road, it doesn't mean it always works out like that. Right? Some people are like, really annoyed. But you have to look at, and if I'm going to use myself as an example into a situation where I've gotten really annoyed, I have to look at my intentions. Right? If you're living your life as a character, your life's probably got some moments in it that, when you come across an opportunity, if my friend Herb lived his life as a character and he was the opportunities to build or whatever it is, if I'm living my life as a character, my opportunities to do people's hair the windows shrink down a bit. I'm not as busy because people don't care for characters. And then all of a sudden these colors become far and few between, and they become more important, and then you put more emotions into these one events, and if they fall apart, you tend to fly off the handle, or I fly off the handle, or I would have flown off the handle. But when you live a life with character, more jobs come your way, more jobs come your way, more business, more friendships, more relationships. And when things don't work out, you don't have to be such a baby. It's like, listen, I'm a man of character. More jobs will come my way. And more jobs will, because as much character as Herb has, that's exactly why I want to have him on my podcast. Because I feel like character is sometimes what we're missing these days. I mean, this pandemic has really exposed this life of convenience that we have. We're living through a pandemic, and, besides masks and 500,000 people dying, it's not been a big change, especially here. It's freaking busier here now than ever, and it's only winter. I don't know. Building character, not characters. I love the idea. I don't know. I'm also dealing with some people that are going through a lot of stuff right now. And it's tough because, I've been through it. And I've been in relationships that end. And it's tough, you know, especially when you love everybody. And, you know, we're watching some folks go through different things. And, you know, I don't know if it's pandemic or just time or whatever, but, you know, you just want your friends and everybody to get along. And I don't know. Topic of character, you know, there was a time when I was, for my first wife and I were married, and I had started, I was probably, I thought I was around 4 or 5 years sober, you know, and I've shared about the pain pills and all that shit, but I was, you know, I thought I was doing well, and I was going to meetings, and we were living over in Easton, we were doing a lot of running, and, you know, we were surviving, we were, you know, having a pretty decent life, and you know, that voice showed up, you know, you deserve this. And, you know, next thing you know, I start drinking and, you know, basically my wife says, I'm fucking out of here. You are a fucking mess. And she was right. And I've always said, you know, good for her. And, but we, you know, we had some things, you know, we'd bought a house. And so we had to make some decisions. And I remember when the decision was basically I had to give her a chunk of money. I was like, this is bullshit. I was deep in my addiction again. I was full-fledged character. And I was a capable way of being a superhero character. I was just an idiot and lacking character. And I remember my buddy Matt said, listen, man, you give her whatever she wants. Whatever she wants. Give it to her. And it was more like give her whatever she gets, really, because she wasn't getting anything that wasn't absolutely hers. But, you know, it hurts. And it hurts to be divorced. And it hurts to have, you know, the people divorcing you take everything or take things. It wasn't even everything. But he said, just do it. it won't matter in 5 years. I was like, this is a bunch of bullshit, you know. The housing market was at its peak, and they valued our place, and it was just like I had 100 reasons why she shouldn't get this money. But the reality was is that I was an asshole. He said, give her whatever she wants. It won't matter in 5 years. And I did. And I'm going to tell you something. He was absolutely fucking right. You know, my last Wednesday, I had to take my son David, our son together. I had to take him to the dentist. And she's like, can I take him up to the dentist and we'll meet you up there? I was like, absolutely. You know, and she had picked him up and took him up to the dentist. I had the same. We both had an appointment at 2 o'clock to get a cleaning. But we were, you know, we were chatting out in the parking lot, laughing and stuff, you know, talking about how great David is and doing. And, you know, I could have, like, fucking dug my heels in and not given her something or really just. And honestly, we've gone through a lot of shit, that didn't go my way. And, you know, I try to use what I learned in the room. I try to have humility. I try to have character and not be a character. And, you know, however, 15 years later, and we have a great relationship, you know. We don't want to be together, you know, but we have a great relationship, and David sees that. And, you know, we're still, you know, bang heads a little, but not much. And I think that that had to do with the fact of taking Matt's advice, which was give her whatever she wants. Actually, give her what is hers. And, you know, it won't matter in 5 years. And there you go. March 15th, the God idea. This is Daily Reflections. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the idea of God, but the God idea did. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 52. Like a blind man gradually being restored to sight, I slowly groped my way to the third step, having realized that only a power greater than myself could rescue me from the hopeless abyss I was in. I knew that this was a power that I had to grasp, and that it would be my anchor in the midst of a sea of woes. Even though my faith at the time was minuscule, it was big enough to make me see that it was time for me to discard my reliance on the prideful ego and replace it with the steadying strength that could only come from a power far greater than myself. That's right. That's right. Surrender all that stuff. Surrendering. You know, that's all that God stuff. And it's not even God. It's just opposite of what I wanted to do. All right. Well, listen, I had a great time chatting with you. I gotta go.